fellowship. Proverbs, as I make my way down here, I'm going to probably use some people for illustration. Pastor's been in the book of Proverbs, but he called me tonight and just said he wouldn't be here. Doesn't want you to panic, but pray for him. He's got a he had some work done. This time he didn't get cut up by a barber. It was a doctor that did the cutting, and just kind of went had to go a little deeper, and he didn't want to show off any blood tonight. And so he had the patch, and the more you speak, and just you're even though you try to stay still, it still moves around, and it has batteries in a listen. I don't want to talk to the sound room like preacher does. All right. Amen. Well, I appreciate the sound men. Amen. And they get a tough job around here. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 3, if you would go with us tonight. Proverbs chapter 3. And we do have a brand new year. We have buttons. We have great opportunities to serve the Lord. Anniversary Sunday's on its way. And so if you have anybody that you've been hankering to invite to church, this is the time to do it. If you have somebody from your work, and always a good way to start any conversation about church is, I go to the greatest church in Haines City. I go to the best church in the world, and again, just to talk it up and to be excited about it. A lot of times, I don't know how your last year, sometimes we get down and we get upset, but it's always good to go and just get excited about it and tell them about the day. If there's a day to be at Landmark Baptist Church, it's on Anniversary Sunday. Amen. There's all kind. You don't know what you could see on Anniversary Sunday. Amen. And last year we had a great day. It rained on us, but we still had a big day and still had a good day. Amen. And so if you'll even begin to pray, that the Lord would clear the weather and everything would just begin to be put together, and there's a lot of work going to go into it. So pray for the men and the ladies that will be working on all those things as it all comes together. In Proverbs chapter 3, pastor's kind of built up and worked up to this area. I really don't want to kind of teach through the section, although some of this is going to be a little bit of teaching tonight. I want to kind of take a theme, if I could, and kind of talk to you tonight on how to have a wholesome, healthy, and happy 2020. How to have a wholesome, healthy, and happy 2020. I think it's easy and clearly being able to be seen here in chapter 3. It's simple, but a lot of times we just need to put it into practice. And I hope some things the Lord's given me and put in my heart to share with you tonight will be able to be something that you can hold on to when times get hard and it's hard to do the things that the Scripture lays out. So let's pray together and ask the Lord to meet with us, and then we'll dive into the Scripture. Dear Jesus, I do thank you for your many blessings, God. I thank you for my preacher, and again, I lift him up and his wife. I know she's still not feeling well, God. I pray that you just be with the two of them and help them, strengthen them, God. Heal my preacher's skin and just be with him and help him to be able to be back with us. I pray, God, as we look down the road to Anniversary Sunday, God, that you would help us, and God, that you would just take care of everything that needs to be done. God, put people in our path that will see the button that we can speak to. Put people in our path that we're able to witness to and invite to church. Help us, God, as we think about this new year, even personally in our own lives, that God, help us to have that wholesome, that healthy, that happy year that we can find in your word. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. In Proverbs chapter 3, we obviously have gone through some things. Pastor talks about this, and it has been my practice for years, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again, to read a proverb a day. Now, that's not all I read, but I do read a proverb a day, and Pastor said it before, so I'll reiterate it again. If you want to be wise, it's a good idea to read the Book of Wisdom. It helps, and even the repetitiveness of it helps us as we grow, especially as we even grow older and our understanding and our experiences happen through our lives. It helps us to better translate what God thinks. This book is full of knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, and the more of those we gain, some of those we can decipher some of that in the Scripture as we go through the book over and over again. As a teenager, I didn't have some of the understanding to really see the wisdom in the book and the knowledge that God was trying to impress upon me. But even through some of my experiences and later understanding, I was able to really swallow some of the things in the book. This book is a great book. It tells us about all types of people. If you want to decipher types of people, this book has like several different people, and you can spot them not only in the church but out in the world. And some of them you want to be friends with, and some of them you want to stay away from. It tells you not only who they are, but how to deal with those people. So it's a very important book to be able to go through and study and to read. And just again, it not as a church going through it on Wednesday nights important, but daily being in the book and letting that soak into us. And let us pick those things up on a daily basis is important. I encourage you to do so. It's wonderfully set up so that you can read a chapter a day. And God, you know, God doesn't make any mistakes or accidents, and I think He built it that way for us. Amen. And so here as we begin the chapter, I just want you to be able to see some things. And here He starts right off in the chapter about when we're thinking about how-tos or as the year begins and thinking about how we can better serve the Lord, or where is it that, you know, I've heard it said, you know, prayer, every failure is a prayer failure sometimes. And I've heard all kinds of different things, but here in the scripture, He's just going to talk about truth and trusting in the Lord. And here, and He's built this idea from very the beginning of the chapter. He is speaking, it's a father speaking to a son. He's almost with desperation wanting his son to follow the Lord and love the Lord. A man of experience and wisdom, and Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, penned a book to his son. If you don't think a man that wrote this book down, heavy-hearted and wholehearted, wrote to his son under the inspiration of God, is not powerful. We have that today for our benefit, for us to look at and see how he wrote and begged his son to do some things. And so the beginning of the chapter, he's already done that in the first two chapters, and now he begins chapter 3 the exact same way. And he says, "My son, forget not my law, but let mine heart keep my commandments." And we understand the Lord is speaking through Solomon. We understand God is speaking. So again, we're going to apply it to our life that way. And so in verse 2, he says that to not forget. I don't know about you, but I know for myself, there are things that I have learned that I forget. There are things that, how shall I say it like this? Maybe I haven't completely forgot them, but I have forgotten to apply them to my everyday life. God has brought it before me. I have seen it and understood it to be truth, but I've not applied it to my life. And so as the chapter begins, he's already laid some foundation, but here he says, forget not my law. And then he says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. I have found in my life the heart, we know the heart is desperately wicked, but again, when here speaking about this, he talks about wholeheartedly doing some things in this chapter. And I believe that the heart is the battleground. Teenager, do you know, I knew a long time ago, do you know, tonight, the battleground for your life and whether you're going to serve God for your life is your heart. If we can get your heart, then we can get all the rest of you to follow that thing. And a college student tonight, there's still a battleground going on daily in your lives. Even though you surrendered to come to Bible college and to study and follow after God, there's still a battleground going on for your heart tonight. There's still a battleground in your life and daily. Church member, I thank God for us being here and being back together after all the holiday time and all the things. But you know, every day there's a battle going on for whether we're going to give our heart wholeheartedly to the Lord, whether we're going to just, I mean, have the right kind of heart. And again, so he gives this. He says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. If I'm going to stay right, if I'm going to stay close to the Lord, he has to have my heart. I can't speak about my heart without speaking about my wife. Now, don't look over at her because she's going to turn red. All right? But you know, I've not had a trouble in my life keeping her close to my heart in my marriage. But you know, I've noticed this as well as anything else. I can't forget that. I can't put that to the side. I have to keep it ever present and always before me. If I keep it in the right way, the same way as with the Lord. He's going to speak about this in the chapter, but if I'm going to keep the Lord before me as we go through this chapter, and I'm going to kind of jump ahead, but I want you to understand one of the ways he talks about, he begins with forgetting God, but he talks about in all my ways to acknowledge God. And one of the ways to keep from forgetting some things is to constantly acknowledge some things. in your life, constantly in every area. You ever come to a place where, you know, in our human, in our fleshly sense, when you make a basket, it's real easy for us to think all about how, man, look at me. I swished the basket. We're talking about basketball because, you know, we're having men's basketball league. So, but, you know, if you make the basket, now, if you miss, it's, man, that rim's not straight. And, you know, I mean, there's a number of things, but it's real easy to, when you make it, all talk about how it's you and all those things. But a lot of times, you know, when we really ought to go back is think about when I was in sixth grade about the coach that showed me how to stop looking like a weirdo and throwing the ball sideways, but he actually showed me how to line everything up and to push off and to have the right motion. And he took time to acknowledge the people or the person in our life. Again, even today, to be able to be here, to have the health to be in this building, and to have all, I mean, again, in all the things, it would be sad for me to acknowledge have some kind of pride and acknowledge myself in this position. Do you know how many people have invested in my life, in Sunday school teachers and junior church workers and bus workers that have picked me up, and pastors who have loved me and invested in me, and church members who, when I was getting ready to go to Bible college, took money out of their own pocket and put it in my pocket. Can I tell you tonight, church, it's sad. Listen, but all that, even those people were being moved by an almighty God who had their heart, and not to acknowledge him in everything that I do. If I do acknowledge him, it's real easy to remember who I am, where I ought to be, what I ought to be doing, and get on the right path and to have that idea. But if I get off that path, I forget because I didn't acknowledge. I forget because I let myself forget. I didn't keep it ever before myself. And so as he begins this thing, and I was skipping ahead, but I want to dive in here. He begins, this is the wholesome, this wholesome, healthy, can I say happy? He says, the for length of days and long life, peace shall they add to thee. So if I can keep it ever before me and not forget it, if I can give that wholeheartedness of keeping God's commandments, and he's really talking about his book and really trying to stay after him, he says, I'm going to add some things. There's some promises to this with length of days, long life, peace shall they add to thee. Can you understand the idea tonight of a wholesome life? A wholesome life would be one that's, you know, not bogged down with just things tearing your life apart, but having real peace in your life. No, peace that passes all understanding, knowing you're on your way to heaven, knowing the end of all things and not worrying about all the things that the world worries about, but knowing that there's a book and there are, I do know in the future that there's some terrible things coming, but I have some promises made to those that are saved and to the church that I rest in tonight. And I don't worry like the rest of the world worries. I can have peace because I know my God has got it all under control. It's all in his hands. It's going to happen just the way he said it was going to happen. And so here in the book, the length of days and long life and peace can be added to me if I have these things that shall, and that he'll add to thee. And then in verse 3 says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. And again, this is dealing, this mercy and truth are things that are important for us to remember, to bind to ourselves. Do you know what it's easy for us to do if we're not careful and if we think more of ourselves than we ought to? Do you know one of the first things that go out the door is mercy? Because we think that, man, boy, they deserve to be punished. Well, I deserve to be punished. If I keep myself in remembrance of who I am, I want to give mercy, because when it comes my turn, I would rather receive mercy than judgment. And I'm just here to tell you, if we're not careful and we don't bind those things to us and we don't keep those in our heart and we don't write them upon the table of our heart, then we do. Sometimes we get self-righteous enough that we want. I remember a church member one time saying, but he hasn't been punished enough. And I thought, my soul, what is going on in that person's life that they've let mercy go so far from them? And he goes on, and think about the world that we live in today. How far, when mercy goes out the window, how far do people get away from the real truth of things? I mean, really, we live in a crazy world today. I mean, the church and the world couldn't be any farther apart. Truth from error are stretched out even farther than they've ever been before. It's so noticeable people are walking away from their party because they finally have realized, my soul, they have erred from the truth. Can I just say tonight, I mean, even in our own lives, Think about some things that you used to hold dear and believe. Think about some things that you used to be solid on and believe that this book was truth. And now you've allowed some things to let, instead of binding them and holding on to them, you've let those things slip in your own life because the world doesn't see anything wrong with it. But you used to see it in the Bible. You used to hold on to those things dearly. And I'm not talking about big things. I'm not talking about you think you can lose your salvation. No, 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 no. I don't believe that about you tonight if you're in this place. But I believe you're in this place, and each one of us, if we're not careful, it doesn't. He didn't start with salvation. Satan usually starts with some things that we hold dear in our lives that hold us close to the book. Usually, he'll start around with some standards in our lives. It's usually where he'll start when he tears away truth from us. Because we look at people around us, and we think, well, everybody's doing it. Well, when was that this measuring stick? When was that truth, what everybody else was doing? The book is the book of truth, and it's the measuring stick where I ought to measure my life. And again, I'm going to help you tonight. I'm not trying to preach judgment. There's no judgment in this. Are you a sinner saved by grace? Amen. And you know what sinners do? Most of the time they sin. And I believe that we ought to have mercy, but I think we ought to have a heart for God to want to stay close to Him and somebody to wave the flag at us when we're getting off the tracks and say, hey, you're getting into error. Get back to truth. Get back where you used to be. Get back to where the book is. Stand where the book sits and where it stands. And so in our lives, so many times we don't take, and if we're not careful, things will slip because we didn't bind them. Things aren't remembered because we didn't write it down. I'm one. I got to write it down now. I used to be able to hold on to a lot of things. Now, I like to tell myself that it's because I got so many things going on that I need to write them down. But in truth, I think I'm just getting a little older, and it's hard for me to remember it the way it ought to be. I want to write it down and pen it down the way someone said it, or I want to pen it down so that I can have it when at a moment's notice I can remember it and pull it up. And some of you like to hold, you young people, you're not any better. You don't remember anything. Tell me your mom's phone number. You don't know it. It's in your phone. You trust your phone to hold it. Hey, man, I used to be able to remember like 800 numbers. I had to remember for a long time as I went, you know, that's like this generation's kryptonite. If you put them in a room with a rotary dial phone, they go, whoa, what is that? You know, call 911. They would know what to do with it. Oh, man. And they'd quit halfway through. Anyway, not you. I know you know. You grew up on a rotary phone, didn't you? No, you didn't. Stop that. All right, so mercy and truth bound to us and holding on, writing upon the table of our heart. We're constantly going back to a heart. This is a heart deal. We have to, again, I think that God ought to have our heart. He ought to have that not only just have our mind and have our, but this is not just the seat of the emotions, but it's our true center. It's our true self. And in that centerpiece that we believe that this is truth, that I love this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not just I know it's truth, but I'm hugging truth. Truth is mine. I have it, and I'm holding on to it, and I'm not going to sell it. I'm not going to give it away. It's mine. And so he goes on to verse 4 and says, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Who doesn't want to have a good, again, look, so that you might find favor and good understanding, a wholesome, healthy, and happy life in 2020. If I can do these things, if I can stay with truth, I'm not only going to have a good standing with my God, but no one can refute the truth of God. I'm going to have a good standing with man as well. All these men around me, sometimes when men don't appreciate or agree with you, if you live godly in this present world, people, even worldly people, they'll say, that's a good man. That's a good man right there. Even if they may not agree with everything you preach or what you say or where you stand or your church 100% or couldn't go to church with you, a lot of those will respect who you are and what you stand for because you're a man of mercy when you meet them on the road. You're a man of truth. You're someone who binds those things on your heart, and you're consistent. And so as we go through the scripture, he says these things, and then he gets down to the nitty-gritty and where we need to be at tonight to really hold on to this and to have that how-to. These are the how-tos here. If you can help me with this tonight, and I need you to listen fast so I can finish. In verse 5, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You ever heard that one before? Amen. I think you might have heard that before. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, I want you to understand, I'm going to give you the definition of truth or trust. I'm sorry. Trust is this definition from the 1828 dictionary, a reliance or a resting of the mind on the integrity of another. I'll say that again so it can sink in. A reliance, this is trust, the word trust in the Lord. Trust is a reliance or a resting of the mind on the integrity of another. So trust, this idea of resting, and I'm going to hopefully not break anything tonight. If I knock the flowers down, it's on video, so don't worry about it. And so you can go back and get it later. The idea of sitting or standing, this idea of resting, even in our salvation, I'm resting myself because I trust that this will hold me up. And I'm resting myself in a position. When I took Jesus for my salvation, I rested in Him for my eternal destiny. But everything that follows that, I still live in the nasty now and now, and I'm waiting for His return, and I'm trusting that He will return, but I need to trust and obey in my daily life. I need to trust Him here. So, BJ, I need you to come. BJ is my son. He is not just, that's not really his name. We knew how to spell other things. And so, this is Barry Jr. So, I'm going to use him to lean unto my own understanding because he's Barry. Barry is leaning on Barry. See what I'm doing here? Amen. So I need to pick a guy for the world. All right, Tyler, come on. Amen. So, amen. So stand right here. All right. So I'm resting tonight in the Lord. And so many of us already do that. All right. And so the world is constantly going to try to, I don't want you to hurt me because I might hurt the flowers. Okay. Yeah. But you do need to push on me from time to time. Okay. Not, let me talk first, okay? All right. I might have picked the wrong person. All right, so I'll tell you when you can push me, okay? It's not now. Okay. Remember I gave you that button earlier. Okay, here we go. So I'm trusting in the Lord with all my heart. And if I'm trusting, I'm resting in Him. But you know as well as I do, there's waves in this life, are there not? There are things that come along, and we should live above the circumstances of life, but still, sometimes the circumstances of life shake us. Okay, and so sometimes where we're resting, I want to lean unto my own understanding. You can continue to push me now. Okay, and so I'm trying to rest in the Lord, but things are still happening. I'm trying to lean or have a crutch of my own understanding. Now, thank you both. I think they got the picture. But I want you to see this tonight. I don't want to use them long, but idea of resting in the Lord, I am resting in Him, but sometimes when things push or bob me around, rather than resting in the Lord and trusting completely in Him, I have built an area of experience outside of my trust in the Lord, of what I'm good at, of what I can do, how much I think I, you know, where I think I can get this or that, rather than trusting in God and resting in Him and looking for His outcome. And then when trials come or trouble comes in my life, I use my crutch. And it's not God. You know, the world says that God's our crutch, but I wish God was my crutch. I wish that I was completely and totally, and I wish I could tonight tell you that every ounce of the fiber of who I am was resting and trusting in the Lord. And I'm working at that, and I want to do that. And I know you would say the same amen, but I'm here to tell you, sometimes when I'm shaken, sometimes I don't always just stay resting in the Lord and trust in Him to deal with that, the rocking. Sometimes my first instinct is to lean to my own understanding. Sometimes we think of this as nefarious, that there's this good and bad, that trusting in the Lord with all my heart and leaning not to my own understanding, that this is like leaning over to evil. And it's not really. It's just every one of us. God uses who we are. I have the opportunity to do a lot of plumbing around the ministry because my previous life, okay, outside of the ministry, before I went into the ministry, I learned about plumbing. And so it's something that God has instilled in me, and I am happy to do it because I have experience in that area. But if I am in the ministry and I'm trusting in the Lord for all that I am and I need to trust Him. Maybe there's a financial need, or maybe there's some other kind of storm in my life. One of the ways, especially with plumbing, what if I just said, well, I just can't make it on what I make for the church, so I need to take a bunch of jobs, when I need clearly to be busy about my business for the Lord. But my understanding, this, if I just step over here and do this, that'll help me. That'll take care of me. Well, I want to rest in Him. You know, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and the hills the cattle are on. He can handle it. He's got the money. But most of the time, I won't just rest in Him and trust Him to bring it and trust Him to take care of it. I want to jump over on my side of the thing. And in your life, sometimes it may be that, you know, it's a different kind of storm, and it's not necessarily financial, but maybe it's something else that goes on in your life. And each one of us could raise our hand tonight and tell what our besetting sin or where Satan always shoots his arrows or where he attacks us at. But every one of us, it always boils back to, rather than standing in the fray or resting in Him and letting God fight the battles, let God take care of the work, we want to jump ship, or not really. We want to keep one foot in trusting and lean as hard as we can towards our own understanding. I want to tell you tonight, church, I just want you to be able to see it. Most of us, we got the core crowd here tonight. Amen? This is the core people. And so most of us are not guilty of getting in and getting out. But some of us lean awful hard to the left and lean awful hard to the right, leaning into our own understanding and what we know and what we can trust, rather than just resting in what God and the direction He put us in. College student in your life, you know, so many times I've seen so many college students when if they just stayed the course and trusted in God and put their faith in Him and rested in Him, whatever they know to do, whatever they can see with their own eyes, it's 20/20 vision. Amen. We got that year that we're here. For us, if we're not careful, it's not just being able to see what's in front of you. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. So again, we need to be able not to see what we can see the answer is, but to trust in God. And you say, Brother Parsons, I really don't. Well, listen, it's early in the year. Maybe you don't have any troubles yet. Amen. Maybe everything's perfect for you. So jot the notes down for when everything comes off the rails. You can trust in the Lord, or you can lean that way. And so here in the scripture tonight, I just, again, for me, a brand new year, can I just say, I'm preaching something tonight that the Lord has encouraged my heart already in this year. Can I just say I needed this a long time ago, and God's already answered some prayers for me, and I want to trust Him more than I ever have. In any years past, this 2020, I want to lean on God more than I ever have before. I want to give Him more of myself. I want to see Him do more through me. This mission gauge, this is a big, big thing to my pastor to see it clipped off so early and not watch him sweat it out on watch night and all the things that go on. Do you know that we could do more than even is on that board if we just rested in Him? So many times we're leaning on our own know-how and our own things to be able to see that done, but that's a faith promise mission gauge. And a lot of times we shoot for by what we can see rather than walking by faith. You know, God, again, God's not short. He's not short any cash. And if we would just trust Him, He could do so much more than we could ask or think. We live in a day and age where people don't live that way anymore. And just because it's old-fashioned don't mean it was wrong. Just because it's God's word and it doesn't make sense to the world don't mean it's wrong. The idea is trusting in the Lord with all our heart. So He wholeheartedly, number one, if you want to write it down tonight, we want to wholeheartedly trust the Lord, trust Him. And then, again, this, and go forward. Amen. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. The word ways, if you're taking notes or you're trying to keep anything, the word ways is, I kind of tried to evaluate the sentence and really the things that I didn't understand about it and just try to really, I understand, you know, I've read it so many times before, but it says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And I thought, well, I know what ways are and I could explain it a certain way, but I read the definition and again, it helped me. It said, my methods, my manner of practice, my plan of life, my course in this world. In all my ways, acknowledge Him. You know, I've got a lot of things that I'm just going to tell you. I've got some methods. You've got methods about the way you do things and just how you go about your life. And it doesn't mean that they're wrong, but the Bible says that, you know what would help me by binding those things to my heart and keeping them ever before me? Then in every one of my ways, acknowledge Him. Do you know there's some things that I could probably do better and I could shortcut, but if I took the time as I went through everything in my day and stopped to acknowledge God, some of those things I'd be ashamed that God saw me doing at that time. Amen. And you know what? In your life, there's some things in your life. If you were to go through your life, not take inventory or to try to oversee it and see, well, this is my time and this is that. Just through every day, you don't have to go back and look back to all this inventory. You can live right in your now and now. And while you're standing there, for you guys, while you're on your phones playing your game, stop and say, thank you, God, for this game I'm playing. And see how that works for you. See whether there's conviction or happiness. God created this game for me, right? No. Amen. I guarantee you, you're going to. And again, in so many things in our lives, some of us, the TV show that you watch, stop in the middle of the TV show, on the commercial, and say, Lord, I thank you for this TV show. And see whether you're happy with it or whether you're convicted about it. You know, it would help us in our lives if we just took the book and put it into practice in our life, and just in all our ways, in every method, in every course of life, in every plan that we've ever made, try to give God glory and see where we fall on that thing. In everything that we do, and see whether God can get glory out of it or whether it's something that we might not want to continue. You say, Brother Parsons, that's you know, I thought you wanted a wholesome, healthy, and happy life. I'm just telling you, you know, that if we give God acknowledgement and everything, you know, the world, I've been in stores all over the place, and I have the habit of saying, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, no, ma'am. You know, the world hates that business. Now, I'm not young anymore. It used to be they'd say, I'm not an old lady. Don't call me ma'am. Now, it's, sir, you don't have to call me that. But you know, the world doesn't like that. That's a term of honor. I'm acknowledging them. Now, I may get in trouble now because you might mix it up. According to the world, they may be one thing one day and one something else. I might get it mixed up. But that's not how it ought to be. And I shouldn't change because the world has changed out to keep on doing what's right and saying yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir, and just and giving honor to people just the way we ought to, and to acknowledge the Lord. People get weirded out when I'm somewhere and they say something good to me. Maybe, you know, you get 5% off, and I'll say, praise the Lord. And they don't know what that means. And they look at me like, well, I have a you know, religious fanatic on my hands, you know. And they look for my backpack. And, you know, and I mean, they don't know what's about to happen. Amen. You know, and we say those things and we talk about it. But tonight, listen, as we acknowledge the Lord in everything that we do, He can't help but get glory. That can't help but direct our paths and our ways in our life. If we keep giving God glory for everything that He does and everything that He does in our lives, how about in your family? How about in your business or wherever it is? When you see God working and teaching you things that you never could have learned on your own, just stop where you are and say, thank you, Lord, for this. Just say, God, thank you for teaching me this. I'm just one of those people. I want to see God everywhere in my life. And whether sometimes it's good and sometimes it might be bad, I know that God is constantly teaching me lessons and wants to bring me closer to Himself. And if I just go on and acknowledge Him, you know that you can acknowledge God for a flat tire? And stop on the side of the road and give praise and say, God, thank you for this flat tire. Because I don't know what's down the road. I don't know what accident you kept me out of. I don't know what in the world could have happened if you hadn't had this go flat right here. But typically, that is not our response. And we don't always get glory out of all our ways. And you say, Brother Parsons, what you know, why should I have to do that? Listen, because I want Him to direct my path. I want to get back in the car with the smile that I left the car with while I was leaving the house and get back on the road and look for what God is doing in my life, to see what God kept me out of or what opportunity. Do you know that God is still on the throne of heaven? Amen. Amen. You know that you could have a flat tire, not to mess up your day, but to just make sure when you said, God, put someone in my path today that I can witness to. And God may see that you're making too good a time on the highway. and give you a flat. So you got time to change it and hit that pit stop wherever you're going to hit to make that divine appointment at the right time. And who am I and who are you to get mad with an almighty God who has a divine appointment set up that I prayed and asked for, and then he took care of laying everything out to make it happen. But then I'm mad with him and I don't acknowledge him in all my ways. None of us want to have a bad day. None of us want to have a flat tire. None of us want to have a dead battery. But I believe I have a God that there's times I'm sitting in the car going, God, could you help it start? Amen? Because it doesn't sound like it's going to go. And I believe he can help it. But there's other times when I pray and ask for a divine appointment, he can make that battery just as hammered dead as he can put power in it. And so many times we don't acknowledge God in our lives and we want him to work and we want it. And when he does, how do you think that makes God feel when we, instead of acknowledging him, we're kicking the tire and going, you know, and wanting to know what God is doing in our life? Well, look around for what he asked, what you asked him for in that morning. That may be a blessing instead of a curse in your life right then. And so many times we're like that. Look down if you would. He says that, trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. You know, that understanding is to know by experience. So many of us are so many times we're led by our own experience than by trusting. Verse 7, he says, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. This idea of having wisdom, you know that the book begins in verse 7. It talks about fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's constantly through this book talking about the fear of the Lord. The book of Psalms really ends closer to the end of the book, talks about the fear of the Lord is again the beginning of wisdom. There's so many good places in the book that tells us, and this idea here, this be not wise in thine own, is fear the Lord and depart from evil. So many times when we hear fear the Lord, he just wants to be reverenced. And can you see how when we understand that we ought to acknowledge him in the good and in the bad and just praise him for who he is all the time, that when we get that out of whack, we need to put back in check our fear of the Lord. Because he is due a reverent respect from us, an awe, if you would, that he knows better than us. Who am I to look up at God and say, God, you shouldn't have given me this flat tire right now. You should not have let this come into my life. This is inconvenient for me at this time. How many of us were like that? We're so many of us are like that. Wholeheartedly. Not only do we need to wholeheartedly trust in God, but we need to wholeheartedly, number two, trust in God. We need to not only wholeheartedly trust in God, but wholeheartedly, can I say this in this way, but respect God. You say it shouldn't have to be said, but yeah, we live in a day and age, and even as Christians, there's so many Christians that don't apply the fear of the Lord to their lives. They feel like God is a genie in a bottle, and that praying to him is all about rubbing and getting what they want, rather than, again, this chapter goes on. And I know that God, and I'm running out of time, and I can't say this, but if you were to look down into some of the rest of the chapter and where it talks about being, in verse 13, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. And again, but he says here in the next few verses, look down, it says in verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. This idea of having that wholesome, healthy, and happy life, it's all through here if we'll obey God and acknowledge him and trust in him the way we ought to. Verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase. So thy barns, look, thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now again, I read that because it was in line, not so that I could preach about you giving, but I want you to see this. If you want to have a wholesome, healthy, and a happy life, God didn't cut that out. He left it right on in line. If you're going to do right and have what you ought to and have the life that you ought, that God wants you to have in this life, you not only need to trust him, all right? And this is part of that. He just kind of makes it very plain. Now, everything else, there's a lot of things in there he leaves vague and talking about acknowledging him, but he gets down to the nitty-gritty, and he doesn't even talk about your pocketbook, about dollar bills or change. He just says, the first fruits of all your increase. Amen? When was the last time you tithed on a child? All right, what did it cost you? 12 grand? Did you tithe on that? Probably not. Did you increase? Man, I'm here to tell you, my children are a blessing. I'm just here to tell you, there's so many times if we really wanted to look at it, God could really get in our face about things. But He's a God that He loves us. And when I got saved, He forgave me of my sins. But don't ever get this idea that God, you know, that God's not ever, you know, that we're untouchable because He sees us as His son. Listen, I'm saved and on my way to heaven. And I don't want to muddy the waters here tonight. And I will never answer for one sin when I get to heaven because they're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But don't you get so high-minded and belly up in this idea that I'm saved and forgiven that you miss the next few verses in the book of Proverbs. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son whom He delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. When I was a boy, when I did wrong, I had a dad that loved me, and he would whoop me. And you know what that would do? That would bind that not to my heart, but to another place. And I would remember some things that I did wrong. And since I've been a Christian these years, I have a same loving Heavenly Father who didn't punish me, but has corrected me and chastened me when I got out of line. And I serve a God who loves me. And sometimes in my life, you know, God's not trying to bring evil into your life. And some of the things that we think are trials and tribulations are just the chastening of a loving Father trying to teach us to get back in line, to get back where He wants us to be, to drive us back home to be where He's at. Listen tonight. That reverential fear of God, I believe many people in our day have lost it. Because again, you ever seen a child when a parent corrects them turn around and go, I dare you? I don't know. There's not a whole lot of things that can happen in Walmart that gets me. How's it? Gets crow. I don't know what you want to say. However you say it. You know, gets me riled up. How's that? As when a child not just disobeys, but when they're corrected, they bow up at the correction of their parents. And I believe we live in a day that, see, yeah, we're trying to trust Him. And a lot of us are still leaning on our own understanding. But a lot of times when we have a Heavenly Father that's trying to correct the lean in our lives, we bow it up at Him and go, why'd you do that in my life? We'd rather pitch a fit with our leadership or pitch a fit with our parents over the things that they're trying to help us and correct us in our life, because that's what the world does. But I'm still in a book of truth, and the Bible still says not to spare the rod because it'll spoil the child. And I'm still a child of the King, and God still loves me, and He's not forsaken me. And guess what? If I get out of line, He still is not above whooping me, and neither are you. We still serve a loving God that loves us, and He loves us enough to whoop us back in line. You say, well, Brother Parsons, that's a punishment, a judgment of God. No, the Bible doesn't use that word judgment there, does it? And I don't believe it's by accident. He says chastening. God doesn't judge. My sins are forgiven. But He's chastening me back in line. There's never been a time when I whooped one of my boys that I tried to hurt him. I just wanted them to do right. I loved them. I was loving them. Can I tell you right now, a parent that won't spank their kid doesn't love them. Amen, Brother Parsons. Amen. All right, it's time for me to quit. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I do thank You for Your many blessings, and I thank You for this book. I thank You for an old-fashioned Bible that still says it like it is. And rather than having and being in a group of people that want to change that book, we still try to line ourselves up with truth. God, I pray that even some of the things that may have been harsh to say, people were encouraged by some of it, because we still need to hear it. Thank You for my preacher who constantly preaches it and tells it like it is. I pray that You'd heal him up, God, that he'd be back with us Sunday, that he could preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Go with us now as we go home. Help each family and home to live the way You'd have us live and close to You. Well, thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.